I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. When I looked at the calendar as I selected a text for this morning and I noticed it was Father's Day, I wanted to pick out a text that would be an encouragement to fathers. We live in a time in which fatherhood is being minimized. It is oftentimes mocked. Fathers are oftentimes ridiculed. But the Word of God has a much different perspective about what fathers ought to be. So I wanted to be an encouragement to the fathers. But as I took a closer look at Proverbs 2, I realized that the instruction that is given here for fathers applies by extension to mothers. And so mothers are very much in view. Now, some of you might say, I'm not a father, I'm not a mother. I guess maybe I should just go home and come for another sermon. But let me say this. In this passage, you have a father speaking to his son. And if we are children of God, then every single one of these words can be received as if God were speaking it to us as his child. Which means Proverbs chapter 2 isn't just for fathers. It's not just for parents who are instructing their children. It is for every child of God that desires to grow in their relationship with their Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ and the power of His Spirit. Let's keep that in mind as I read Proverbs chapter 2. Hear God's word and receive it with a believing heart. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good, and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. There ends the reading of God's word. May he also add his blessing to it. I provided an outline for you that looks something like this. If you didn't get one when you came in, I'm sure there are some extras in the back that are available. But I want you to notice that in this chapter, I've laid it out in a way that's hopefully easy for you to understand. I tried to make it easy for me to remember, so that I could preach it, not only preach it to you, but also take it to heart myself. And so the title of the sermon this morning is The Wise Father. And each one of those letters, W-I-S-E, stands for something. The W stands for the father's wisdom. The father's wisdom. He speaks to his son, and I want you to notice there are several if statements. If this, then this. If this, then this. And he begins with the first one in verse 1. He says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Notice what the father is speaking about here. not only speaking about, but what he is speaking to. As he speaks to his son, notice the aim is toward the heart of his son because he wants to shape the attitudes. That's the first thing in your outline there. The father's wisdom is to shape the attitudes of his son. He talks about in verse 1, to treasure my commandments. Boys and girls, I suspect you already know what dad and mom have told you, and you say, I know this is what dad says. I know this is what mom says. But notice what the writer is saying. He's saying, my son, I don't want you to just know what I've commanded you. I want you to love it. I want you to treasure it. Instead of thinking in your mind, I know dad said this, but I want this. Instead to say, dad said this, I'm not sure why he said it, but I'm going to love it because dad loves it. That's the attitude. But then he goes on to say, making your ear attentive to wisdom. Now, we don't always talk that way, but right? Making your ear attentive. It's one thing to say, I hear it. I'll never forget one day in our home when we were little kids, on a Saturday morning, I think it was, my mom was going to go uptown to go to the grocery store to get a few things, but she wanted us to get a few things done as soon as the cartoon was over. There was probably about 15 minutes left, and she was standing in the doorway instructing us, but our eyes were glued to the TV. And she could see that she didn't have our attention, and so she walked in front of the TV, and we said, Mom, Mom, move! Right? Because we were attentive to the television screen, and she was wanting us to be attentive to the instruction that she was giving to us. You see what he's saying? You have to be actively engaged. But then there's one more in verse 2. Notice this. He says, and inclining your heart to understanding. Incline means to lean into it. All of these things require our attention. It means that we have to devote attention to it so that we might know what God wants for us. But notice it's internal. I remember hearing a story about a mother with her toddler who was standing up in his high chair, and the mother said, sit down. And the little boy said, no. The mother said, sit down. The little boy said, no. The mother finally came behind the boy, put him in the high chair, made him sit down, and then when the little boy was sitting down, he says, I might be sitting down, but I'm standing up in my heart. You see what the father is after? The father wants not just outward obedience, he wants obedience that comes from the heart. And so he's shaping the attitude of his child. But it's not just the attitude. I want you to notice the next thing here in terms of the father's wisdom. The father's wisdom not only shapes the attitudes, but the father's wisdom calls to action. Notice the action words in verses 3 and 4. Again, you have another if. Yes, if you call out for insight, raise your voice for understanding. Now, I know boys and girls can have an outside voice and an inside voice, right? Your dad and mom ever talk to you about your outside voice? You might be using your outside voice inside, and your parents say, can you use your inside voice? Your outside voice is loud, isn't it? It's the kind of voice that you use on the playground that says, hey, I'm over here, come here. What he's saying is, raise your voice for what? Well, look what it says in verse 3. For insight, raise your voice for understanding. In one sense, he's saying, use your outside voice with God. God, I want to understand this. God, help me to know this. In one sense, the father is saying, make prayer a part of your life. And now I'm not talking just to little children now. I'm talking to us adults. Because we are children of God as well. And what do we need? We need insight, we need understanding, and we need to cry out for it, and we do so by praying earnestly. This past week, we were out hiking on some trails here in Bellingham, and my youngest daughter and I got separated from the rest of those who were ahead of us, and we got to a fork in the road, and I wasn't sure if we were supposed to go right or left. I chose to go left. And I kind of took a look at my watch, and I thought, I'm going to walk for about 15 minutes, and if I don't find the group, we're going to turn back. I didn't tell my daughter that, lest she might be a little bit concerned that Dad is lost. And so we walked another 15 minutes down the path, and I thought, I still don't hear any voices. We should have been to the end of the path by now. And so I said, I think we ought to turn around and go back. And she looked at me like, oh, Dad doesn't know where he's going. And by then her legs were tired out, so I put her on my back. We did a piggyback, and we were no longer down the path. She says, Dad, we need to pray about this. And that's what we did. We prayed as we were hiking down the path. You see what this is about. We need to cry out to God for understanding. But that's not the only action. Notice also this in verse 4. If you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. Or we might put it this way. Plan for this as deliberately as you plan for your bank account, right? Some of you have already started with your kids. This is how you save money. We're going to go to the bank. We're going to set up a savings account, and we're going to save our money. I'll never forget when my son was just a toddler. We went to buy him a little truck at the John Deere dealer, and as we were looking, he already picked up on my vibes because he sat there and he looked at this one. Dad, this one's expensive? I said, yeah, that one's too expensive. Dad, this one's expensive? Yeah, too expensive. It's the whole idea that you value something and you budget it, but now he's saying the same way that we might carefully manage our money, even more so do that with seeking the Word of God. Right? When you go, is this better than this? Moms do it at the grocery store. Is this more expensive or this? When we walk through life, is this word better than this word? Is God's word better than this? That's what he's after. And so he's calling his children to action, which includes all of us. That's the W, the Father's wisdom. Secondly, the Father's intention. Notice, now we move from the ifs. In verse 1, if you receive my words. Verse 3, if you call. Verse 4, if you seek. Now we come to verse 5, then. The ifs, in other words, this is what you ought to do. Why? The Father is explaining, here's what the outcome will be. Then, and he says in verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now, notice the word fear, fear of the Lord. Let me try to imagine what this means. One way to put it is the fear of the Lord is coming to this awareness that God is not only everywhere, but he sees every move. There might be something that you're doing over here, and all of a sudden your child walks in the room, and you think, oh, I better hide that because I don't want them to see that. Or sometimes it's the other way around, right? Boys and girls, you're doing something over here. Oh, mom walks in the door. Oh, quick, hide this. Oh. But God sees everything, and he sees all, and having a fear of the Lord is an awareness of this. And that can be good or bad. When you're troubled and walking on a path and you think that you're lost, good, God is here with us, and we can pray to him. But if you're off doing something in the privacy of your bedroom, and you have something on your screen that you ought not to be looking at, then the fear of the Lord is something that causes you to pull back. I want you to understand here the goal of the Father. You see, the goal of the Father is not goodness for goodness sake. And sometimes, dads and moms, we train our children because we want them to be, we want life to be easy and convenient for us. And isn't it true, dads and moms? Life is always easier when the children are compliant and they always respond in the right way. But notice, the Father is not saying, I want you to behave to make my life easy. His goal is about a relationship with God. Dads, moms, is that the goal that you have for your kids? Reflect a little bit on your own life. If your kids were to be asked what is most important, or if an onlooker was to look at your life, what is it that you talk about? What is it that your life revolves around? For some of you, it might be music, and you want to make sure that your children are well trained in a musical instrument. Others of you, has sports become the center of your life, and now everything is about sports? Or maybe it's about camping, or you name it. Do you see what the goal of this father is? He says, my number one goal in everything that I do in life is for my kids to know the living God, and I am giving them instructions right now to say, my son, my daughter, do this, do this. Why? Because the goal is that you might know God. Did you see that? At verse 5, and that you might find the knowledge of God. That's not just to know about God, that's to know God in a personal way. That's the Father's intention. That's the Father's intention. And so, first of all, it is to understand the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Notice what we read here in verses 6 and 7. Right? He said in verse 3, if you call out, verse 4, if you seek it like silver, what can you expect? You can expect to meet God. You can find God. Why? Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. In other words, God makes himself known. God is not a God who hides himself and wants to make a big game out of this. No, God has made a way that you can know God. It is primarily through the Word. It is through prayer. But God also uses people around you to direct you in those truths. God can be found. And our children need to know that. Notice it says in verse 6 that from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Remember what Jesus said when he was being tempted. He says that we must eat from and feed from the Word of God. We don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So that the Word of God is even more precious, more valuable, more necessary than food itself. Also notice verse 7, he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield, right? He stores it up. He's got a whole grain bin full of wisdom. So come to God for that wisdom, and you can expect to receive an understanding from God about himself and about the world that he has created. But also notice this, at the end of verse 7, notice the benefit. There's God's protection. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. He protects his children. I want to say more about that when we get to the S of the word wise, but I just want you to put it in your mind for right now. What is the intention of the Father? The Father's intention is that his children would understand the fear of the Lord. But there's a second thing with regard to the Father's intention, and that is that they might understand the good life. That they might understand the good life. Look at verse 9. We have another then statement. Remember? Verse 1, if you receive. Verse 2, if you call. Verse 4, if you seek. Verse 5, then you will understand. But now there's another then that connects to the other ones. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. I teach Bible classes in prison. And oftentimes I use these concepts of righteousness, justice, and equity when I talk to my students, because they oftentimes complain about the laws that put them in prison. I remember one day in class, one student complaining about, because I was explaining the idea of equity, where you have laws that are equal here as over here, and he was complaining about how they were unfair, because in the county where he came from, you could have this much meth and not get caught for it. But he happened to get caught in another county where he was visiting, and he had this much meth, and he got in prison for it. That's not fair. So I asked him this question. I said, whether it's this much meth or this much meth, do you think that your community is better off with you having even this much meth or having no meth? And he had to agree with me that it would have been better off with no meth. You see what the Father is getting at? Where there is righteousness, justice, and equity, it leads to a good life. My hunch is that 80 to 90% of the men that I meet in prison are in prison for drug-related issues. Either they were dealing illegal drugs, which puts them in prison, or secondly, they were committing a crime in order to pay for drugs that they wanted to have. Or thirdly, they were under the influence of drugs or alcohol and did something that they probably would not have otherwise done had they been in their right mind. You see, this father is saying, you want to know the good life? The good life is following the ways of God because it eliminates a lot of the troubles that come from living simply for the pleasures of this world or using the ways of this world to cope with some of the hard things of life. So that he goes on to say in verse 10, he says, for wisdom will come into your heart. There it is again. We need wisdom not in simply up here, intellectual wisdom. We need wisdom here. Wisdom is not simply how much you know. In fact, you can know a lot of things. I remember one Bible teacher saying that we are educated far beyond our obedience. You can know lots of things, but whether or not you love them and put them into practice is another thing. But if it's in the heart, you follow through. And so he says in verse 10, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. And that's why the father began by saying, treasure up my commands within you. Delight in my word. Because if you love it, if you delight it, what happens? You tend to follow through. I don't know too many kids that you have to say, now, I'm going to have to punish you today. You're going to eat a whole bowl of ice cream. No, when you dish out the dessert, what happens? You don't have to tell the kids to eat the dessert. You oftentimes have to tell them to restrain, and you can have only one piece. Why? Because they delight in it. That's how he wants us to think about his word and his understanding. And then look at verse 11. What's going to be the result? Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. Notice that's the same thing that he said back in verse 8. It will guard your paths, watching over the ways of the saints. You see, God gives this information to us not to steal us from our fun, but to give us some protection. We drove up to Mount Baker this week, and at least in our car, there were some in our family that would have liked to have had a few more guardrails along the way. Why? Those guardrails give us a little more sense of safety and security. That's what God is saying about his word. It sets guardrails. It keeps us from falling off the edge and bringing damage to our lives. Well, that brings us to the S. Because it talks about this protection. Protection from what? Well, that's what the S is all about. The Father's snatching. Snatching. Let me explain what I mean there. I want you to notice here, there are two words that kind of divide this section. In verse 12, it's the word delivering, right? Prior, he said, I'm going to guard you, protect you. For what reason? Verse 12, he's going to get into the specifics. Delivering you from the way of evil. And then notice verse 16. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman. That word delivered has the idea of snatching away. It's used, for instance, in Amos chapter 4, verse 11, about a brand being plucked from the fire. And God uses that in Amos to say, I'm plucking you, delivering you, rescuing you from a particularly deadly situation, but I snatched you up out of it. Well, here, that's the term that is being used, snatching, delivering, rescuing, from two particular evils. First of all, to rescue us from evil men. Evil men. Notice how they're described at verse 12. Delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech. Words are oftentimes the beginning of being led astray. It's the way that things are presented. This was Satan's way, right? He came to Eve in the garden and he simply began with smooth words. He said, "Has God really said?" He calls it into question. Then he eventually said, "God has not said, you will not surely die." And then he substituted and he says, "This is what will happen. You will actually know the difference between good and evil. You will be like God." You see, all of this was words to change the way that we think. And so where do we need to be kept safe from? We need to be kept safe from the evil man with his words. Which means, young people, be careful about the kind of music that you listen to. Because it's oftentimes the music that draws you in, but it's the words that corrupt your mind. It's the words that cause you to think a different way about relationships, about what is true, what is false, what's valuable and what's not. Notice the words of the evil man. But not only the words, but look at verse 13. He describes his lifestyle. He is the one who forsakes the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Notice, it's not just this is another option. I think too often we think that there's satanic stuff over here, there's godly stuff over here, and you got these extremes, but most people live in this third way that's just kind of a neutral way. The Bible never talks about this neutral way. The Bible says you're either against God or you're for God. And what he's saying is the evil man is choosing very deliberately to go away from God, to walk in the paths of darkness. And then if you look at the next verse, in verse 14, what does he rejoice in? Verse 14, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil. I've talked to inmates in prison, and some of them have talked about how it was that they would break into houses, they would do this or that or the next thing, simply because it was a challenge. There was a thrill to it. They loved it. He's saying, watch out, when you follow the wicked man, you will find yourself delighting in things that are not good, and they will end up being destructive to yourself, but they actually have an appetite for it, and they want to do it. One of the classes that I teach goes through a number of statistics, and it oftentimes shows that those who are most active in this criminal life for the thrill of it are those between the ages of, say, 16 and 25. You can understand then a father wanting to warn his son, "Son, don't go in the way of the evil man, because he will draw you away with all kinds of thrill, all kinds of adventure, because they delight in doing wickedness, and you'll begin doing what they do." So he warns him against the path of wickedness. Look at verse 15. He says, "These men are simply those whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways." It's a lifestyle for them. So be warned against the wicked man, but now he moves to another category and he says, beware of and be delivered from the evil woman. You see, it's not only men who are evil, but there are evil women. Notice how he describes the evil woman in verse 16. He calls her an adulterer, a forbidden woman. In other words, the kind of woman that you ought not to pursue. Look at verse 16. "So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman." And then he describes her as the adulteress. And notice what she uses. Just as the evil man used perverted or corrupt words, she uses smooth words. And if you want to know what that looks like, jump ahead. We don't have time to do that this morning, but if you jump ahead to Proverbs chapter 7, you find a woman who has smooth words, and she meets this young man. She says, "Oh, I've been looking for you, honey." And she kisses him. And she says, let's go home. You see, she's got smooth words. But again, let me say to you, be careful what you watch on the screen, because you might say, I would never go out with a gal like that. I would never go for a gal like that, but I'll watch her on the screen seducing somebody else because it's part of the movie. Be careful what you watch for entertainment. Notice how damaging it is. In verse 17, it describes her as the one who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. Yesterday, many of us were at a wedding. And at the heart of that wedding, the bride and the groom faced each other and they exchanged vows. And they were saying that I commit myself to you for better or for worse, for riches or for poverty, in sickness and in health, as long as we both shall live. They made that commitment to each other. And what he's describing here as a woman who made those kind of vows, but now she turns away from them. He says, watch out. I'm giving you all of these instructions back in verses 2 and 3 and 4, right? To pursue it, call upon God. Why? So that you will not be sucked in with a woman who is not faithful to her wedding vows. Look what we read about her in verse 17, actually verse 18. Notice the theme of death here. For her house sinks down to death, and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So the young man who follows this kind of woman thinks that he is finding adventure and thrill and pleasure. And what the godly father is saying, son, I know where this leads, and it will simply lead to a very sad ending in your life. And unfortunately, you will from time to time meet a man like this who said, I wish I would have listened to my father. I meet men like this in prison who say, I wish I would have known what you have told me 5 years ago, 10 years ago. It would have kept me from all this trouble. Why? Because it's the Word of God. I want you to notice, congregation, and think about, why is it necessary for a father to give this kind of instruction to warn his son about the evil man on the one hand and the evil woman on the other hand? Why? Because what's true of all of us is that our natural inclination is to go in the direction of evil. And that's why he's being so deliberate and so urgent and so intent about directing his son to go in the right path, because he knows that the natural inclination of the human flesh is to go the path of evil. Nobody has to be trained to do that. We do that naturally, automatically. And so we have this warning to come back. What we really need, congregation, is what we need is to be renewed from the inside out. And that's really what the gospel is about. You see, Jesus died on the cross to deal with our shame and our guilt. And I suspect, as I've been walking through some of these things, some of you perhaps have had your conscience pricked and you say, that's me. That's me. What do I do? Come before God and you say, God, you know my past. You know the shameful things that I've done with my life. You know the words that have come out of my mouth. You know the things I've set before my eyes on the screen. You know the people that I've hung around with that have wreaked havoc in my life. God, forgive me. You see, that deals with the guilt. It deals with the shame. But we also need to be changed and transformed from the inside out. And so what we also need to cry out for is, God, give me your spirit, dwell within me so that I would lose these appetites for sin, that I would gain an appetite for your word and for your instruction so that I might delight in it, that I would hunger for it, that I would seek it as silver and pursue it as I would gold. We need to be snatched away. We need to be delivered. We need to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have one last letter here. We have the W, the Father's wisdom, the I, the Father's intention, the S, the Father's snatching. Now finally, E, the Father's expectation. Here's one of the things that I suspect kids don't fully appreciate about their parents. Parents have this ability because of their experience in life that they can see where things are going to go long before the kids can see where they're going to end up. When I was still a pastor, I remember meeting a young fella at the rescue mission. And he was living in with a gal, and he justified it because she had several children and they needed his care and she needed his help. And I said, Tom, this isn't right. If you really love this gal, you will separate and you will live apart from her. Oh, no, no, no. This is what I need to do. He eventually left the mission. 3 years later, he came back to the mission and I saw him again and he says, do you remember me? I said, I recognize your face, but I don't remember the name. He said, my name is Tom. I said, oh, yeah, I remember. He said, do you remember what you said to me? Everything that you told me would happen, happened. I should have listened to you. Fathers, mothers, because of your experience in life, you can see what's going on and where things end. And that's exactly what this father does. This father looks not only a week ahead, a month ahead, he is looking all the way to the end of the world. And look what he sees in verse 20. He says to his son, so you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land and those with integrity will remain in it. You see what he's doing? This is the father's expectation for the godly. For the godly. And what he says is, this is the result. This is the result. When you incline your heart to my instructions, when you put it into action, when you find the knowledge of God, this is what it leads to. And if you notice what he says here, he says you will walk in the good path, but then in verse 21 he says, for the upright will inhabit the land. Now keep in mind, this is likely written by Solomon, or perhaps David to Solomon, or maybe Solomon saying, right, this is how my daddy talked to me and I'm talking to you. Back in that day, the land represented the place that God had determined to meet and live with his people. But we know that it was only symbolic because even Abraham, when he longed for this land that God had promised to him, he saw beyond it, and we are told in Hebrews that he saw a land in which God was preparing a place beyond that land in terms of the heavenly places. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. What this father is saying to his son is, son, we only live so long here on planet Earth, but there is a time coming when the last day of your life will come. And there is a day coming when the godly will live with God as their Father forever and ever and ever. That's the path I want you to be on. That's the path I want you to be walking on so that when God comes, when that day comes, and of course he didn't know yet Jesus Christ, but we can say to our kids, on the day when Jesus Christ comes in the clouds of heaven to gather us up, or even if it comes before then and he snatches you out of this life through death, I want you to be ready for that day. The father says, I can see where things are going, not because I've experienced it, but because I know God's word. This is what I expect to happen. And because I expect it with all of my heart, I'm going to give you instructions accordingly. But there's another side to this, isn't it? Notice the Father's expectation for the wicked. Look at verse 22. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Back in that day, to be cut off the land, to be rooted out of the land, was to be removed from the presence of God. Going back to Deuteronomy, God had already said to Moses, Moses, as these folks come into the land, if they're disobedient, if they do not walk in my ways, I will uproot them and I will put them out of the land. And that's exactly what he did. He eventually brought the Assyrians and they scattered the Israelites, the northern tribe. Then eventually he brought the Babylonians and they exiled them and brought them off to Babylon. This father is saying, my son, this is what will happen to the ungodly. There will be a final day. And Jesus described this final day, didn't he? Jesus said there's a day coming in which all will gather and stand before Jesus, and he will separate the sheep from the goats. To the sheep, he will bring them into his presence, but the goats, he will say, I never knew you. And they will be placed in the place prepared for the devil and his angels. That's the end. To be cut off is to be rooted out of the land and separated from God. So let me ask you, congregation, what direction are you going? Will you be wise? Will you be wise and be instructed in your attitudes and in your actions? Do you share the intentions of this father to say, my goal is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ so that I might live the good life, not the good life as the world describes it, but as the Bible describes it? Do you see your great need this morning to be snatched away from the evil men of this world who put their things out in the world, oftentimes on the screen, on your phone, the evil women, right, who are enticing you? Do you live with the expectation that one day there will be this separation, those who will be taken out and those who will be brought in? That's the wise Father, and it's our Heavenly Father. It is God our Father who speaks to us, to his children. This is the way of life. Choose life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that in the Lord Jesus Christ you deliver us from our natural appetites and natural desires. Lord, you know the sins that we have committed, and would you forgive them through the blood of Jesus Christ. But do not leave us as we are. We pray for the ongoing work of your Holy Spirit to change and transform the way that we think, so that we might incline our ear to your commandments, that we might delight in them and love them and seek to walk according to them. And may it be, Heavenly Father, that as we cry out to you for understanding and for wisdom, as we pursue your word through Bible study, through daily reading of your word, through the instruction, even in our homes with our children, Father, we pray that as we read the Bible, as we pray, may we find that we are meeting you. May we know you personally. May we know you as our Lord and as our Savior. May we know you as our God and as our Father. Oh, Lord God, we pray that you would answer these prayers, and may you deliver us from all of the ways in which we might be ensnared in this world, from all that would entangle us. And may it be that on that final day, we would be gathered to you for all eternity. Oh, Lord our God, hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.